Thank you for listening to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church of Enfield, Connecticut. We hope and pray that these messages from Pastor Gary will be a help to you. You can find out more about our church at www.fbcenfield.com or find us on Facebook. God bless and enjoy the message.
Who likes the smell of rotted fish? Can you smell it now? You can usually tell when somebody's cooking fish in their house, even good fish. But rotten fish has a stench, a smell. It turns your stomach. I remember one time I ate, I think it was shrimp years ago, and it wasn't good. And I couldn't eat seafood for a long time. Now this morning, I want us to strive to stop giving out rotten fish or decaying fruit. The word Paul uses for this term, corrupt communication, is a term that you could get stuff that's decaying, stuff that is putrid, stuff that is rotten. And he says, don't let any putrid, rotten communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, we live in a day of great technological advances. My phone has more power than my first computer. And yet, with our technological advances, our modern medicine, our scientific discoveries, our creative innovations, there's still one thing we don't know how to do very well, and that's talk to each other. If you notice, a lot of churches, their live cast or their channels, they will have comments disabled. Why is that? Because a lot of times, the comments people put on a YouTube video or Facebook post, if they don't agree with it, they're comments are not very nice. In fact, I can remember reading recently on one of the forums that somebody commented that they wished a particular group of people would die because of their particular political view. There is hateful language, name-calling, generalizations, sarcasm that is used many, many times today. And it's hurtful. It happens at schools. It happens at work. Sometimes in families. Our words, what comes out of our mouth, can be a very powerful influence for good, i.e. fresh fruit or fresh fish, or it can be a very destructive influence for bad. Rotten fruit or putrid, decaying fish. James says this about the tongue, and you can read James chapter 3 if you want more background information. He says this in verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Tongue is powerful. You remember when we were kids? What did we say? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt. That's not true. Now, you may be very tough, and as tough as we pretend to be or try to be, words hurt. Like, you get one negative comment, and it hurts. It hits. It can mean something. And so I'm glad we read that passage this morning, because as we come to verse 29, we have to remember the context that we're talking about here in Ephesians. We've kind of slowed down here in Ephesians, taking these one at a time, but we have to remember where we are. We're Paul in started talking about our walk, and he says here, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. In other words, our words can minister to people. Our words can influence people. Our words can build up people. Our words can edify people. Lawrence Lofsky said this, kind words are a creative force, a power that concurs in the building up of all that is good, an energy that showers blessing upon the world. Someone said this, be careful with your words. Once they are said, they can only be forgiven, not forgotten. I'll ask you, husbands, what stupid thing did you say this week? Today? That you wished. All right, now, let's not be too hard. Okay, let's not. We have to have grace, even on our husbands. Amen? But have you had a word, and you said that word, and you're like, uh-oh. Why did I say that? Don't want to sleep on the couch again. Our words can help or hurt. Someone said this, don't mix bad words with your bad mood. You'll have many opportunities to change a mood, but you'll never get the opportunity to replace the words you spoke. So Paul is talking about our new walk here. And he's talking about this principle, put off, lying, speak every man the truth, don't steal, work with your hands, don't speak corrupt words, edify and minister with your words. This principle of taking off our old ways, and Paul, as Paul said in verse 1, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling in which you are called. And so this calling, you're called, as a Christian, you're called to speak good words. Sometimes we want this calling to be a Damascus Road moment, this great calling. But you have a calling. You're calling, one of your callings as a mother, as a wife, as a husband, as a parent, as a co-worker, as a Christian laborer, one of your callings today is to speak good words, to use your words to build up, to edify, to minister, and to influence, and using our speech to glorify God and build up people. That's what God wants us to do. That's the new thinking, because we're all, it's so easy. And I struggle with this. Sometimes I'm sarcastic and cynical. Sometimes it's very easy to think of a cutting word. Very easy to think of a sarcastic word. I mean, they just come. And it's funny, but not always. And there's been times where I've said things that I wish I had not said. So the first point this morning, don't serve rotten fish. Don't serve rotten fish. Let no corrupt word, no corrupt word, proceed out of your mouth. I like how that happens. But what is good and for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Now this word again, like I said before, corrupt. It's a word for something that rots, something that contaminates, something that will make you sick, something that smells bad, something that creates an unpleasant atmosphere. So Paul is telling us he wants us to get rid of this unwholesomeness. He wants to get rid of this rottenness that is unpleasant and can really discourage the atmosphere. It can stop the progress of what God is doing. And so as we come together in the church, The church should be a place where people get encouraged. The church should be a place where people are going to get uplifted. We are knocked down enough in this world all the time. People are always knocking us down. You can't, you're no good. You're not smart enough. You're not, you don't look good enough. You're not right. You don't, you know, we have these in our society, these images of perfection that become the standard that are unrealistic. And we've learned in Ephesians, going back to chapters 1, 2, and 3, we're in Christ, we're adopted, we're loved, we're chosen. We know who we are in Christ. We don't need the affirmation of the world, but it is important for us as believers, as parents, as spouses, to use words of affirmation and encouragement in our homes, in our churches, to help encourage each other. And so, corrupt words, or words that are angry, words that are spoken in haste, or one of them, corrupt words, is gossip. You know what gossip is? Gossip is sharing bad news about others behind their back without their permission. You know, you say, next time somebody wants to gossip about somebody, just ask them a question. Can I quote you on this? Can I quote you on this? Oftentimes, slander or gossip will mix half-truths. And sometimes it's done under the cover, well, I just wanted you to pray about this. But oftentimes it's feeding our pride. A couple of verses that I just want to put out there this morning that are interesting about this gossip and about talking about others and talking down to others or judging others. Jude chapter 1, verse 9, and I'm not going to get into this verse, but it's an interesting verse, and it says, yet Michael the archangel, and he's talking about disputing with the body of Moses, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, notice what it said, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. So here's Michael the archangel. He's not willing to say anything as an accusation against the devil. I'm sure he could have. But he left it in God's hands. And things bad, speaking bad of people is not building them up. It's not edifying them. It's not helping them. And sometimes Satan knows the buttons to push. Right? And sometimes in the church, we're trying to live up to biblical expectations. And we all struggle with it. And sometimes we're very quick to judge others without knowing the context, without knowing the situation, without knowing anything about it. James 4:11 says this, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges a brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a what? Judge. Who's the judge? Who are we going to give account to? He's not going to ask me to come up and give my opinion. So he's telling us, don't speak evil of another. So part of corrupt communication would be speaking evil of another person, sharing bad information about somebody without their permission, or doing it in a way that, look, hey, look, look at me, I'm okay. Look at them. And then 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says this, for he who would love his life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. And so we have to watch our tongues, our speech, how we communicate. It makes a big difference. Do not put out rotten fish, corrupt communication, negativity, discouragement, gossip. Those should not proceed out of our mouths. And then the second point, can you smell the fish? Can you smell the fish? And it's kind of a play on the word corrupt, but verse 30 says this, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Now this word grieved means to distress, to make sad, to cause grief, to make sorrowful. And so the point is this. You can't get rid of the rotten fish if you can't smell it. Like the room smells and you're going along like everything's okay. There's no problem. And you just keep giving out rotten fish because you're not connecting. And so when it says that we grieve the Holy Spirit, we're not being sensitive to God. We're not allowing the Holy Spirit to convict us. In other words, the one who guides our words is the Holy Spirit. If we say something grievous, it should bother us. So when I say you're not smelling the fish, in other words, you're able to function, but it's not bothering. You're not allowing the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to talk about more about being led by the Spirit in chapter 5, so I'm not going to dwell on this point this morning. But the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us. If we say something hurtful, it should bother us first. Have you ever said something to somebody and you saw the expression on their face? Maybe a child, maybe your spouse, maybe a friend, and you let an unkind word or you said something you shouldn't have said, and you see they're grieved. That's how the Holy Spirit should be, controlling us, being led by the Spirit. It should bother us. And so the words that come out come from the heart. That's where the words come from. And so the next point is this, clean up the fish. Clean up the fish. What I mean by this, notice verse 31. He says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So here he's, we're putting off and putting on, right? Where do bad words come from? Or where do discouraging words come from? Where do they come? They come from the heart, right? So what God wants to do, he's not, what I'm not saying is to you this morning is, all right, you got to make a list of words and memorize that. No, what I want is God to change your heart. And so in order for your heart to be changed, you have to resolve any issues that are brewing inside your heart. You see, words don't come out of a vacuum, do they? They come out of our heart. The other day, I was talking to my wife about something. She says, oh, you're being a little harsh. And what she meant is I had been thinking on some things and we hadn't had a chance to communicate. So when they finally came out, they came out a little stronger than I had intended. But what God wants to do, he wants to resolve those issues of the heart. So where do they, that anger, it comes from what is in our heart, the bitterness, the anger. It says it in the NLT, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. And he says in verse 31, forgive others as Christ has forgiven you. How do you resolve the issues of your heart? The cross, the gospel. That's what the gospel is about. The gospel is about resolving that issue that you have. Whatever hurt, whatever has made you angry, whatever you've questioned God about, or what's happened in the past and has made you bitter, that you dwell upon that, that was resolved when Jesus died on the cross. And we got to nail it to the cross and put it to the cross and give it to God. And when we dwell on it, it's just going to come out. What you think and meditate will come out. That's why it's so important what we put in. You give it to the God, the cross. Put it on the cross. So he says here, get rid of all that bitterness. Get rid of that anger. Get rid of those harsh words. Give it to Jesus. Because you can't have good speech if you don't have a peaceful heart. Remember back in chapter 2, he said, Christ is our peace. He broke down the middle of the wall. He came to give us peace. He wants us to have peace. That comes out in how we talk. That comes out in how we communicate. So, the fourth point, I don't have a fish illustration, so totally destroyed my outline. But number four, we strive to impart or minister grace. That's the put it on. Strive to minister with our words. We think of ministering, bringing somebody food. Or something else. But we can minister with our words. Again, verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good and necessary edification. What does edification mean? It's to build up. That it may impart grace to the hearers. That it may bring relief to the hearers. It may be an inspiration to its hearers. It may uplift our hearers. And this is so important. We get to chapter 5. Paul talks specifically to the family. But every one of these principles we've talked about in the last few weeks, they apply to relationships. And how often, the longer we're together, whether it's a married couple, whether it's a church, the longer we're together, you've heard the expression, we take each other for granted. And we can forget that we need to be ministering to people with our words. And then verse 32, and be kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. That means trying to understand each other. That means having compassion on each other. That means relating to each other. How many times in a marital conflict, it's the comparison of what I've done? Right? Well, I worked all day, and I did this, and I came home, but I stayed with the kids all day, and I did, and it's a comparison of what each other has done without trying to relate to the other person. Trying to understand the other point of view. That's being tender-hearted. Not being hard-hearted. Not being callous. Not being mean. We need to become proactive instead of reactive. We need to be tender and kind and forgive. How can we do this? Encouragement and praise. Appreciation and gratefulness. loving words, patient words, kind words, gentle words, scripture in our life, loving words of correction when needed, edification, grace, kindness, forgiveness. All of these should be the words that we use. One thing I appreciate about my wife is she's always saying words that build up. Even when I don't deserve them. But that's how we need to change our thinking. Change our way of reacting to each other by words that minister. Somebody wrote about they were going through a discouraging time, and somebody, and this person made a lot of mistakes, and somebody said to that person, "You're like a stained glass window. All the broken pieces make you more beautiful." That person said that word of encouragement helped lift me up. But what we like to do is take the little broken piece and hold it up. Say, look at this. We hold that up, but we don't understand that all the mistakes that we make through God's grace, He can make a beautiful picture in our lives. Story about a college student, Mark. He was given a quiz and is a very conscientious student, wanted to make all A's all the time. And bruised through all the questions, got them all right, got to the last question. And the question was, who is the name of the woman that cleans the school? Now, he thought it was a joke. He passed by the woman every day, never said anything. Remember what she looked like, but never talked to her, never asked her name. So he left it blank. And just before class had ended, one student asked the professor, "Is that last question going to count?" And he said, "Absolutely." He says, "Your career is you will meet many people, all are significant. They each deserve your attention and care." Mark said, "I never forgot the lesson, nor Dorothy, the name of the cleaning lady." Sometimes just learning somebody's name. Somebody sometimes just slowing down to speak to a child. Sometimes just appreciating somebody instead of noticing their defects. God wants us to put that off, that way of communicating that comes from our flesh, that way of communicating that comes from the world, that way of communicating that comes from our agitated spirit, from not being sensitive to God. And we need to put that off, put that aside, lay it aside, and proactively put on a new way of communicating. And for sometimes saying thank you may be odd for you. Even in your family. I mean, my wife and I still say thank you to each other. I'm not like, "I'm the man, that's your job." No. No, we still need to appreciate each other, thank each other, lift up each other, encourage each other. This world is a negative place, a hard place. Life is hard. And yes, there are times we stand with the Lord, but in the family, in the church, among brothers and sisters, let's communicate in a different way with this love, kindness, patience, thankfulness, and encouragement. Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this morning. And Lord, as we meditate upon these thoughts about using our words to uplift, to encourage. Lord, I thank you for being part of a church that is, Lord, that is positive and not discouraging people. Lord, sometimes though we get in habits. Sometimes we let what is agitated in our heart come out of our lips. Lord, may we just rest in you, that you become our peace, and we rest in the peace that passes all understanding. And help us to be ministers, edifying, encouraging, and uplifting people through our words and actions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, if God's spoken to your heart, maybe you don't know Christ. Maybe you need God to transform your heart. Maybe this morning you've been a little callous in the heart. Maybe you just need to come. Maybe you just need to come and pray. Prayer of intercession for our country, for our church, for those around us. You come this morning as we sing.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness fills his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every
yeah.
Peter, when many of the disciples went back, and Jesus said, "Will you go away also?" But Simon Peter answered him and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And so as we think about our words, we think about the words of Jesus that not only encourage us, the words that give us eternal life. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have your word and that your word encourages us in most difficult times. Lord, as we think of Psalm 42, you're our fortress, that in the midst of trials we can have peace. But Lord, as we've learned this morning, help us to be facilitators, help us to be ministers, to encourage others in their walk in Jesus. Lord, forgive us the times when we've discouraged people or said a harsh word. Help us, Lord, to use our tongue, our words, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.